everyone to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by the Grapple Arcade's Mark Fox. How are you doing, Stephen Mark?
I'm well, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Everything going good with Grapple Arcade?
Yeah, man, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, we're just planning at the moment for our big July convention in Gateshead with the NERG event. We're doing a massive WrestleFest tournament on our arcade machines there.
Wow.
Should be great. We're expecting 1,000 in each day, so it should be a big one, as well as per usual at the moment. The nerve has gone really well. But we're about to, we're hopefully securing a venue in the city centre as well, pending on a meeting tomorrow. So if all goes well with that, we'll be aligning with another business and opening up a pretty nice, cool lounge-style venue.
Like a full-time venue.
Gaming aficionados and record players alike and blah, 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 which would be good.
So that'll be like a full-time thing, so you could go every day, or just a...
It's going to be there. It's going to be basically our home, yeah. It's
where
we're going to be, not as in where me and my wife and my child are going to live. I don't mean that kind of home. I mean, in between the bigger conventions and the events that we run up and down the country, we're going to have a base for the first time in quite a long time. So they're going to be set up there all the time. So it's working in conjunction with a friend of mine who owns a really cool record store up here. There's a lot of space to be used. So we're opening up into an arcade, record store, stroke cafe, stroke bar, stroke, yeah, that kind of thing.
So
depending on how tomorrow goes, that should all be good to go.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, and we're also delighted to be joined by Jason from Liverpool Exhibition Centre. How are you doing this evening, Jason?
Yeah, great, mate. How are you?
I'm brilliant, thank you. So, thank you for joining us again.
No worries. It was that or watch England versus Japan, so I think I've made the right decision.
Alright, so for those who missed our first interview with Jason, he joined us to discuss the Full of a Wrestling event, which is held in April this year. So, but before we get into the interview, I just want to send out our condolences to the friends and family of Lionheart, who passed away today. No real details have come through about how he died, but we just want to send our condolences.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolute staple in British wrestling.
Yeah, absolute legend.
Well, for me personally, over the last decade or so, just a brilliant talent to watch. Deeply saddened. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's very sad. Very, very, very sad story to read. Very sad indeed.
And he's, especially when he's young, he's younger than us.
It's
very sad.
It's such a shame.
With me, it's no age at all. It's horrible.
This is Brian Aidenson telling you to listen to Broken But Glorious podcast.
So for those who didn't, again, who didn't listen to our first interview, the Full of Wrestling event was the UK's biggest wrestling-dedicated event and had biggest wrestlers from the weird and wonderful world of wrestling. It was headlined by The Undertaker, Bret Hart, Ric Flair, Hall and Nash, Brooklyn Brawler. Everybody was there. So it's been 2 months since the event. So how was the experience for you, Jason?
Amazing, like literally. I mean, we with the Monopoly events, who we sell tickets for, and we host a couple of their events at the Exhibition Centre where I work.
Yeah,
we see some kind of great feedback, but nothing like we've ever seen for that. Nothing like we've ever seen for that convention. You know, the response from people has been like really heartwarming.
Yeah.
You know, when you put so much work and effort into something, seeing the appreciation, I think is the right word, from wrestling fans that they've got their own dedicated convention now, and the excitement over the fact that, you know, it got pulled off. It was such a well run event, and that it's going to come back is lovely to see. And as I said, you know, sometimes after a convention you get like 4 or 5 nice messages. We've had must be well over 200 messages, and some of them are, you know, really, really heartfelt messages about what it meant to them. And it's just, yeah, it's incredible. It's like nothing we've seen before. It's amazing.
Yeah, I thought, because behind the table we were at that was where the Undertaker's tent was, and the queue going around was amazing.
the controversial blacked out area where we had where Undertaker was sort of hidden and people weren't happy, they couldn't just see him. Yeah, that was unfortunate, really. Again, not our, you know, I'm not going to go into detail and stuff, but obviously not something we would choose to do.
No.
But, yeah, I was stood at the door of that. It was, again, it's kind of mad, you know, you're standing on the door of that, and it's, you know, nice, and people come in, and it was maybe the ones that really get you is there's sort of, maybe about a dozen or so, mostly ladies, but, you know, walk through and literally took one look at him and just burst into tears.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite emotional when you see that, you know, to realise how much, you know, our staff are really nice and are sort of comforting people before they go and saying, come on, you know, you're going to keep this picture forever, you don't want to go in there, you know, the face that, not the face on that, you know what I mean, cheer up a bit, but what a lovely guy as well. But no, yeah, I'm still probably still slightly buzzing from it even when I think about it.
Yeah, of the other guests, who else did you meet and who were some of your favourites?
Because we're working,
you
only meet so many, and what you try and do is be like sort of very professional with all the volunteers. You know, there are a lot of people in there that have paid a lot of money, so the last thing we need is, you know, 30, 40 of the volunteers jumping in front of queues and, you know, jumping in to meet everyone. So I got a photo with Chris Jericho and Ric Flair, but I didn't get to speak. I spoke a lot to Ted DiBiase on the first day. A little bit to Eric Bischoff, a lot to Ted. Really, really nice guy. Really, really cheerful guy. And to be honest, but I was like working with Mark Calloway, so the majority of the conversations I have with him, just, you know, they say like, you know, don't meet your heroes, but that's not always, you know, what a
absolutely.
Even now, I put pictures of him like. I didn't post them on the groups because we weren't really meant to take any photos backstage. Or, you know, pictures of him talking to some kids, talking to kids in wheelchairs, him being all friendly. You know, the idea that he was a miserable git, he doesn't smile in pictures, couldn't be any further from the truth. He's a really, really decent guy.
Would you really want a picture of the Undertaker with a big goofy grin on his face, though?
So who wants that? You know, the world doesn't do that. He's, you know, he's old school. He doesn't put... He doesn't look angry. He just puts, you know, goes deadpan. Pictures, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we went out for a meal Saturday night, and then we went to, then he wanted to go to the cabin club.
Wow.
So we took our heads to the cabin. We went to an unnamed bar in town, more for the guys who were with him, his manager and a young guy with him wanted to go out for a drink. So, you know, having a real chat with him was really nice. Not, you know, I've chatted to him about MMA and it's really interesting. He threw a few punches at me, not like properly, kind of demonstrated some things. You kind of think, wow, the Undertaker's just, you know, thrown a body shot at me. That's terrifying and awesome. Yeah, like I said, I'll never forget it. It was an incredible experience, and the event itself, I'm already excited for next year, like I hope everyone else is.
Yeah, my favourite Q&A was the Christian one on the Sunday. It was so funny.
I missed them all. Was it good? What did he say?
It was just deadpan with all his answers, and he was just so abrupt with the interview, and it was just so funny how he is on the show. So he reads of awesomeness. He tells some great stories about him.
I didn't get to see any Q&As apart from when I walked past. I was at the Undertaker's area most of the day, and I'm gutted really. I've heard some good feedback from some of them. I said, even if, you know, talking about value for this show, and I totally get that not everybody's got 150 quid to see The Undertaker, not everyone's got, you know, 50 quid or 55, whatever we charge for Ric Flair, but, you know, if you just pay 25 quid, as a wrestling fan, I'd have paid 25 quid, sat down all day and watched every single one of those Q&As, and just said what value that is.
Yeah, the one with the old, the WCW one was really good with all the old WCW guys. Who else did we see? We saw Lita, was it? Mark? Who else? And Bret Hart was there as we were packing up. It was his Q&A was that on. And the first thing they said was, let's not talk about 1997. So it got off to a good start.
Yeah, I'm pleased they were good to those Q&As, because the guy the volunteer in Monopoly that first put the Q&As together, they sent them through to me just to check the timings.
Yeah.
And the guy obviously wasn't a wrestling fan, and there was just some random combinations. You know, you look at it and you're like, what the hell is this? You know, you can't have... I don't remember what they were exactly, but, you know, you're like, Booker T, Brutus Beefcake, and, you know, someone else. You'd be like, what are we doing here? So, yeah, I kind of reorganised all of those.
Yeah.
And what, you know, some better combinations. No, I'm pleased they went there.
So what was your experience of the weekend, Mark?
Great, mate. Yeah, fantastic. Had a really good conversation with Sid Justice about sausages. That was grand.
You got a brilliant photo of him.
We literally chatted for about 10 or 15 minutes about sausages before he went on for his Q&A. I don't, you know, just these things happen. It's kind of rubbish that me and Pablo talk about on the Turnchuckle stuff. So it was lovely. Had a good chat with him about that. But had a good chat with Eric Bischoff about, we did an interview and had a good chat with Eric when he was up in Newcastle a year ago. So it was really good to sort of have a catch up with him and chat about those days. But in general, everything was fantastic. We felt under, what's the word? We felt under gathered with the amount of consoles we brought.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be planning to bring a lot more next time with a lot more ideas in the pipeline now that we know how that particular event works. And we've got a lot of good feedback from people on the day. I think we gave out about 80 quid's worth of trading cards and toys to kids who were playing the consoles and stuff. So it was good because there wasn't a second where there was any empty seats, empty games.
It was busy all day.
Loads of kids and dads and parents were playing all day. There was queues at one point to get on a couple of the games when we were running tournaments, which was grand. So got a lot more planned for next time round in terms of what we can do and, you know, got an idea of... You can never tell going into a convention like this one, because we've done several wrestling conventions or exhibitions or whatever you'd like to call them in the past. And it depends on the kind of clientele you're getting and the fan base that you're getting. We've done somewhere it's been parents and kids, so there's a particular... wants to play certain games.
Yeah.
We've done somewhere it's like after parties for wrestling companies in England. So that's a different type of game that they want to play, if you know what I mean. It all just depends on the age range and what works. So we've got a good idea of what people like to play now. Got a good idea of what works and what doesn't work. Absolutely brilliant fun, and loads of good crack with loads of people who were there and happy to be involved with it. But apart from our side of things, the convention in general, fabulous. Can't fault it. Couldn't fault it.
You had your epic missions try and get your ECW belt signed. That was fun.
Man, bloody hell, that got a really, really random rare ECW belt, and yeah, that was a nightmare. That, because Rob Van Dam was about to leave because he was done for the day, getting on for that 5 o'clock time. And my wife was running late, and I left the belt in the bloody car. So then she pulls up at like 3 minutes to us. He's getting up and like, come on, man. And he's like, yeah, man, you've been back every few minutes here. Come on, then. Cool signs. And we had a big crack about ECW and his fitness regime and meditation and sort of fits in with some of the stuff that we do up here and in our gym. And
yeah.
It's just lovely just having a bit of chat with somebody about the fitness elements, not just the wrestling, but... ECW was my thing. I mean, well, early 90s, 1988 into sort of 96, that's my buzzing wrestling years, you know. 1993 is my year,
yeah.
Absolutely. 1993 is my year. Many people here say, I absolutely bloody love 1993, born in 94, it's the best. That and ECW are all I care about. stupid amounts. Well, as you'll know, we did a video with Joel Gertner recently for our wrestling ECW wrestling figure special.
Yes.
And that was brilliant, and we've got lots of cool things lined up going forward with a few of those guys as well. Chatting to Barry Horowitz recently, actually, as well, for another interview that we were doing.
He didn't say, I didn't think he would sound like that.
Sorry?
I was going to say, when I was listening to the interview, I just didn't expect his voice to be like that.
No, neither. It was really interesting. really interesting bloke.
Yeah.
Bit out there. Love him. We just recorded one with just recorded a video with an interview with Austin Idol as well.
Wow.
So that'll be up quite soon. Should be cool. But yeah, in terms of what we want to see at the event next year, some of the names that have been announced so far are a bit brilliant. And we're looking forward to seeing what else is to come, that's for sure. I know Paul was very giddy on the day, and he still is now, so, you know, what does that tell you?
He was borrowing every bit of pennies he could to get as many more signatures.
He just buggered off. Honestly, he was meant to run the stall with me as usual. He was meant to be running two of the tournaments. And he just kept buggering off to go and take some more money out to go and meet another wrestler every 5 minutes. So I had to run loads more tournaments than was planned, but I'm not going to grumble at that, man. We had a cracking time. It was a good experience, and we thoroughly can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, definitely. And there was also cosplay throughout the whole weekend. Did you see any, have any favourites, Jason?
You know what? I didn't see a vast amount, to be honest. Again, I saw, maybe it was again being like stuck in the Undertaker area. I just saw a few people going dressed as the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Apart from Taker UK, I can't say any of them were. No, I don't really mean. There wasn't anything that was spellbinding. I think probably the best was, I did catch, there was some like little kid who played Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, wow.
More than like 5, 6 years old. He came out sort of playing the belt as a guitar. I thought that was cool. But yeah, I must admit, I didn't see him myself. Did you see any good one?
Well, I got pictures taken with there's a Gold Dust and a Sting, and
that Gold Dust was actually really decent. I thought he'd gone to town with his costume, and he looked like him, which was
he looked like 96 Gold Dust before he put the weight on.
Yeah, 96 Gold Dust, but in 2016 costume.
Yeah.
it was good, and I thought the Kane, the guy dressed up as Kane, old school Kane. The costume wasn't great, but the fact he was legitimately 7 foot was pretty good. So I'll give him kudos for that. And he was pushing around a pushchair all day as well, so it looked mental.
This is Brian Adenson telling you to listen to Broken But Glorious podcast.
All right, so shall we move on to next year's event? So the second For the Love of Wrestling event has been announced for the 18th and 19th of April 2020. Again, it'll be at the Liverpool Exhibition Centre. There was a few rumours that it was going to be a moved venue, but you can confirm that it is in Liverpool again. So some amazing guests announced already. Should we start with? Might as well start with the man who, between his WWE run, Impact run, New Japan run, had held over 21 world titles. So Kurt Angle. It's an amazing stuff.
it's a great booking. I know we mentioned, we put a post that after saying, and I've run through some of the names, you know, you guys that we're chasing. We're not using the terms headliners anymore, because I think we backed ourselves a bit into a corner with that last year, where because we kept talking about a Saturn's headline, a Saturday headliner, and there was someone that, you know, we had in mind, and it sort of fell apart. And I think then we had to then come up with someone that was, in many people's mind, at least on a level with Ric Flair. So in the end, we obviously got Chris Jericho over the line, but I think it did. Made a bit of sort of a rod for a back. So, but I would say by most people's assertion, Angle is at that sort of headline level. If you want to give him that title,
yeah,
I think it's a great one. Really, really pleased to have him.
He's an amazing, absolutely, like, first person to announce, because it kind of says this is the level we're going to.
And it wasn't by design, it was just the first one to confirm. You know, we have had a couple of change of plans. First, we were planning on putting them out steadily, and then we thought, which we started doing, then we thought, well, we had a slew of one, you know, contracts coming at once, and thought, you know what, let's get these all out at once. I say we, you know, as I always have to make the point, this is, you know, it's Andy that organises this event, some lovely event, everyone else just supports him. I don't want to, you know, play up to suggest that I'm the one signing these contracts. I'm not. I've talked to some of the agents, but, you know, it's his deal. And then we kind of changed our mind and said, you know what, let's just get it out there. And then even if we end up with a whole roughly 30-person show early doors, let's just get it out there. And try and spread it as wide as we possibly can.
Wow.
But yeah, Angle, great.
Amazing. I'm over the moon. I'm over the moon with that announcement. When that came out, I was just like, oh my God, here we go. You know, it wasn't doing anything by halves, you know? It was straight in there.
Yeah.
Bosh. Kurt Angle.
He actually had the first announcement, Tori Wilson was.
Oh, that's right.
I think he was second.
Yeah, yeah, no. He was, yeah, that's right. But to bring out the big... To be fair, Tori's a big gun, in my opinion. I think that's an equally... in terms of the caliber of sort of name power for nostalgia, it's a massive name, and especially if you followed, you know, WCW leading into her arrival in WWE,
mm-hmm.
the change of pace from her character to what she ended up becoming, larger than life sort of, you know, persona on the screen that she became, absolutely fantastic announcement as well, brilliant.
Yeah, I don't think she's been in the UK before. I mean, it's very hard for us to get totally exclusives because, you know, there's lots of comic conventions and speaking tours that will, you know, at some point book some of these guys. But I'm not aware that Tori's done the UK before, which, you know, which is even better. It makes it a bit rarer.
Yeah, definitely. A bit more exclusive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the other two women you've announced so far, another two more legends, probably the big two huge names in the business. You've got Trish Stratus and Victoria. So,
amazing. Yeah, really delighted with those. And there's another, you know, there's at least another sort of three or four ladies, two of which have nearly contracted, that we're going to get out.
Yeah.
You know, before the event's done, all big names. You know, really, really, really delighted with them. I like Victoria. I was a proper fan of hers as well, and apparently she's really nice. Like,
yeah, I've heard that.
She's one of the guys. She'll be drinking with the fans in the bar. She'll be, you know, she's like mega approachable. So that's pretty cool.
Brilliant.
So, the next one on my list is you're going to be very excited about, Mark. So it's Demolition.
Oh yes. Oh, get in. Yeah. No, this is If you didn't announce anybody else, I'd be coming just to be Demolition anyway. Simple as that. I besotted with them as a tag team, as well as just wrestlers and icons in general. So, yeah, I am absolutely ecstatic about that. And when I'm not stood playing computer games with kids all day, I'll be standing staring at Axe and Smash and pretending I'm Crush. So, yeah.
I think it was...
That's what I'll be doing.
It was the first tag team we put out. It was the first one that we did. We announced the single. There was like solos.
Yeah.
Like an hour later.
But yeah.
I know a few people. You always get, you know, like weird comments on social media, but a few people were like making out like we were trying to con people. Like, you know, like obviously,
oh,
you know, I'm sure most people know that Bellini was the masked superstar, and
yeah.
You know, pretty much nearly everyone knows that Smash was Repo Man. But
yeah.
The point was simply that if you don't want to, you know, if you do want to meet them separately, you can. You know, they're not their own tag team. There is the odd tag team where I think, I don't know, I'd give an example, probably the Nasty Boys. If we ever did the Nasty Boys, I can't imagine there's anyone that's like, I want to meet Sags but not Nobs.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I would imagine 99% of people will want to meet Demolition, but if you've got the odd one person that's met one or the other, or is a massive Repo Man fan, then, you know, knock yourself out, you know, get Barry Darso from, just get Barry Darso his autograph.
I'm definitely meeting Demolition and Repo Man, there's no two ways about it, that's definitely happening. I'm going to be the one fan, if that's the case, that's meeting Repo Man. Absolutely, I am.
Well, it confused people because someone then messaged, like a private message, and said, but are they going to be in the face paint? And if they are, I want to meet Repo Man. I don't want to meet, you know, Smash. So is he going to take the face paint off? It's like, it's detail we've not got into yet.
Yeah.
If I would imagine, and I do want to get more props this time for photo shoots, but, you know, if we do want to, I would absolutely ask him, will you be happy to wear face paint, and we'll do solo photos with you at the end, and we'll put you in a mask, you know, and see if he's
happy. Yeah, of course.
I can't imagine he wouldn't.
Exactly. The idea that a fan can have a photo with Demolition, but have their own face painted up as Crush, I think that needs to be a selling point, man, because that's exactly what I'll bloody be doing.
Yeah,
like, The idea to be the third person, to be the third member of Demolition. Yeah, go on then.
It's actually the one thing that we got last year, because we had booked and we planned to book Face Painter.
Yeah.
We just never got around to it, so it's definitely something we'll do for 2020.
Brilliant. I'll tell you what, me and you will get a photo, Chris.
Yeah.
I'll go as Crush and you can go as Mr. Fuji.
Oh, God. Remember my bowler hat.
Will I? Definitely, I'll bring the cane. Yeah. Sweet. Oh, no, I'm a bit giddy, you can probably tell. Yeah, but yeah, I'm happy.
So we stick with you, Mark. So we've got Money Incorporated, so you've got IRS and the Million Dollar Man as well.
Repeat that we had as well, but I think, you know, and I know we probably won't do as many solo autographs and photos with him this year, but when it became clear that sort of Mike Rotunda was available and Ted had mentioned that
over,
we thought, well, if we get him in a couple of joints, you know, people might, it might be something a bit different for people, you know, getting the father and son, or, you know, getting Money Incorporated. So yeah, we got him over for that reason, and we wanted Jimmy. You know, Jimmy and Ted, we got on so well, such lovely guys. You know, we just wanted them back. It just made sense to us.
Yeah. Money Inc. is such a good call. Oh man, I'm just you're just ticking all the boxes, to be fair, so far. Carry on. So, carry on.
I say, you did mention that. So you've got a kind of a recent wrestler in Ted DiBiase Jr. I think he recently retired, hasn't he? So.
Yeah, I think he works in his mission now.
Yeah.
I believe he does that. But I actually had the conversation with Ted. It was before the show had even started on Friday about how well it had gone, and, you know, kind of ran through some of the numbers that he sold, and he was like, wow. And he kind of mentioned that, you know, just some, I won't go into detail, but just some stuff about Virgil and about how some issues they'd had in the past, but how, you know, he's mostly sorted out now. And said that he hadn't done a film shoot with him in a while. He was like, if I come back, I'll bring Ted Jr. with me. So, yeah, that came to pass in the end. I think Andy speaks to him a bit, the organiser, who invites him.
Wow.
Cool.
That's cool. So next on my list, I've got three former Intercontinental Champions. You've got Tito Santana, Greg the Hammer Valentine, and the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, the Honky Tonk Man.
So. Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with Tito, to be honest.
Absolute legend.
It's awesome.
I was like 50-50 on that one when it, you know, it kind of came up as he was available, because partly made me think, how many people as a kid said, I'm a fan, you know, I want to be Tito Santana when I grow up, you know, like people are a fan of Warrior or Hogan, or it was one of those, he was sort of always there as a bit of a workhorse, but I think for real, you know, wrestling aficionados, Tito is just someone they'll have a lot of love for. He's, you know, he was one of the first, he's been in the first eight, I think, WrestleManias. He was just there for a long time, wasn't he? Real company
he's,
man.
He's somebody, I've appreciated as I've got older, because he was as El Matador when I started watching wrestling. He was just a bit of a lower card guy, just putting the new guys over. But when, as I've gone back and watched the earlier stuff, that's how my appreciation for him's come through.
I see, that's where I think I'm quite lucky. I started watching when he was in a tag team with Martel, who I, by the way, Martel, I'm such a massive fan of Martel.
Yeah.
Like, them as a tag team, both of them singles, were just great value. They were just cracking, solid hands on the card, and they were there for such a long time as well, and people forget how long they were actually around for back then.
Yeah.
They were both fantastic, and I love them both dearly. They're brilliant.
Strike Force, wasn't it? Weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Still got a Strike Force t-shirt.
So what people were thinking, can we get Rhythm and Blues ops even? So with Greg and Honky Tonk Man.
We haven't done it yet, but there was some talk of, because, you know, Diamond Dallas Page is a few of these conventions, so would it be fun to get Diamond Dallas Page, and maybe we'll, as one of the props, we'll hire a pink Cadillac. And then
wow.
Oh man!
That hasn't happened yet, but it was the idea was sort of bashed around, and we were talking about some of the prop bills and some of the sets that we're going to get for next year.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Some of the sets this year were brilliant. The barbershop set was brilliant, and the Piper's Pit while you had all the props with the coconut and stuff. That was really good little extras you added on. So.
Yeah, we definitely like a rough announce table this time. Maybe one of the entranceways, either WCW or WWE, or one of the old Raw entranceways.
Mm.
I think we've got the blue cage.
What? The blue cage?
Yeah, we were speaking to a company the day that bought one. They were saying, about maybe getting that across. We thought that would be quite fun.
That would be awesome. That's amazing. Oh, I'm just thinking of the 90s neon entranceway as well. That would look ish.
I think that was the one. We sent some pictures through to, I mean, Andy won't, he'll do that a bit later. He's got like a prop design.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But yeah, that would be cool.
Oh, God. Would indeed.
Oh, and then the last person on my list is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. That's amazing. He was one of my.
I think that's quite a rare one. Like yeah. And also, you might get some of the MMA fans in, some of the UFC fans. We always want this to be a straight, a wrestling convention, not a wrestling and MMA convention. But there is, there has been like an element of crossover between the two sports. Del Rio, CM Punk, Lesnar, Lashley, Batista, even, a lot of Shamrock was one of the first seven.
Yeah.
If we could pick up a bit of an MMA crowd as well, and that's really interested in the show, then fantastic. We'd love that.
He's one of them people who he was in the Next Generation, and he was in the early Attitude Era, so you'll get fans from both eras coming through to see him for that as well.
We had them similar like the old In Your House pay per views, didn't they? He kind of ended up more mid card. He ended up more sort of mid card. When they brought him in, and they brought him in WrestleMania 13, it was their special guest referee, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
No, he's a cracking sort of front. I mean, he made this huge debut. We talk about Shamrock still, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Cracking run. The whole run that he had with, the Lions Den match with Owen.
Yes.
And Seven as the ref. And that whole angle was Seven. And that was all fantastic there. And then his transition from there. Everything he did with these with Ryan Shamrock, his sister.
it was actually his girlfriend in real life, wasn't it?
I know, yeah. And then that whole thing leading to is everything to do with the ministry, the corporate ministry. It was all brilliant. I loved his entire run. I thought it was fantastic. He was mental. It was great.
He wrestled The Rock, didn't he? I mean, he actually wrestled The Rock in WrestleMania, and I remember he won the match and then got disqualified for not breaking the ankle lock hold. So
he won the IC title, didn't he? And then he took it off him. They reversed the decision.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Boy, he's great, man. Absolutely love him.
Yeah, no, I'm pleased with that. I think he's probably going to be maybe in real life a bit of a nutcase. So, but I'd be
brilliant.
Great to speak to.
So that's everyone who's been announced so far. Do you have a top three dream list of guests you'd like to have, Jason?
I mean, it's difficult because you start mentioning names, and I think.
I mean, maybe I mean, just do your personal three rather than people you're actually talking to.
Personally, Hogan. I was a fan of his growing up, but I struggle with it a little bit because I still struggle to marry some of the stuff he's done and said with the fact that I loved him so much as a kid. And I mentioned this before, I'm sure I'm on these podcasts, it's hard. I wonder sometimes, am I giving him more of a pass because, I was such a fan? And I don't know. I still think, I preach forgiveness in many cases, but Hogan is someone I'd love to meet. Brock Lesnar, I think that would be incredible. I think he'd be a myth bastard, but I just think it would be cool just meeting him. I think he's just a one-off kind of athlete. Someone I was talking to The Undertaker a lot actually about, and he was saying the guy is, you don't meet people like that. To be at the top of his profession, to be that athletic at that size, he's just a freak of nature. I think I'd love to meet him. And a third one, living. I'd probably say avoiding. I'm going to avoid the ones that are totally impossible, like Vince McMahon and Triple H. I'd say I'd probably quite like to meet Paul Heyman.
Wow, yeah.
so many, I mean, literally, you talk about one of the best brains ever in wrestling, who could talk to you about so many different eras. I think I'd love to have a conversation with Heyman.
Yeah, except Heyman and Jim Ross are my two favourite. That was my favourite commentary team, even though it only lasted a couple of months. I think them two are the best commentary teams.
WrestleMania 17.
Yes.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mark, you had an idea, talking of Heyman, about having a great idea for guests, having like an extreme.
Oh, God, yeah. I was pushing it for ages, man. Yeah. I was getting on people's nerves, probably, but I was really, really hoping for hoping to see some ECW alumni, just for my own personal reasons, you know. And as I say, a couple of friends, I suppose you could call them, who are alumni in the past. So it's always good to sort of band aid, you know, when you're having a bit of crack, the idea of one day having a fantastic ECW get together in the UK at some point in the future. But yeah, man, we did a post about who, you know, when the whole who would your top 10 lists be is, nearly every month there's a who would your top 10 lists be on the group pages, and it's always got hundreds of responses. But I think we've always gone down, right, well, rather than say all the ones who are going to get said time and time again, because we agree with the most of everybody's lists, you know, you can't not, they're all fantastic names that are being called out. And if I'm completely honest, I reckon probably 80% of my favourite wrestling period, they're all dead now, unfortunately. You know, they've all passed on. Because, as I said, 93 was my kind of era. So there aren't that many from that era that are still around, unfortunately, that I would clamber to see if I had to make a top 10. So, yeah, my top three. I think we'll go down the ECW route. We've talked about it time and time again online. Massive fan, so I can't disagree with you at all, Jason. I think Heyman would be a great shout. I'd absolutely love to get Heyman involved with him being the originator, if you like, the founder of ECW. Then it does get a bit difficult for me.
I think Shane Douglas being the first ECW champion would have to be that could be great.
Well, that's a fair shout, but for me, there's one of my favourite wrestlers ever, who actually is an employee with WWE these days, is a certain Mr. Steve Corino.
Yeah.
I absolutely in awe of Stevie Corino. I absolutely love him. He works for WWE now, and he's done some bits for me in the past. He's been over the UK about, you know, it was at least a decade ago now, when we did some stuff with him back in the day. I'd love to see him back over here. He's just such a good bloke to everybody around him, include like just oh man, he's just a gem to be around. And then I'm going to cheat a bit and say a tag team because of who the tag team are. I want to see the Unholy Alliance of Mikey Whipwreck and Tajiri. Because I think they're one of the best tag teams that's ever. I love them to bits. Sinister Minister obviously has to be included in that. And obviously, we have to get Joel Kurtner over as well to announce them all in. So, yeah, that's what I was saying.
It's tough.
I took your three and elongated it slightly.
Most of these are available. Like the ECW guys, they've probably got mad expensive. We've got an agent who's got a load of the guys in the roster. It's just, I mean, like we'll have to have a conversation off the podcast. But I just sometimes wonder how many would they sell. You know. Audience for them, you know, so we've got to fly them over. I don't know, maybe we should get more. Maybe we should get some ECW guys. There's at least two or three that we're looking at, but I always have in my head, you know, maybe some of the ones that have been in WWE as well. Dreamer, Raven, maybe Sabu, Dudley Boys, obviously Paul Heyman, Terry Funk. Would you think some of the other guys?
Tajiri, man, I've said Tajiri.
Yeah, no, I think he'd do well.
It's a massive part.
Would the Blue Meanie sell, in your opinion? Would Super Crazy sell? Yeah, just your opinion.
I think if you got them in as BWO with Stevie Richards, for example, I think you'd be surprised, especially if they went a bit off kilter and sort of walked around in character, taking the mick out of people and doing daft stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's where it could work with people like that. Likewise with, you know, there's there's all sorts of names and tag teams and characters over the years you can think of, where if they were to, if, for example, I'm trying to think of a character off the top of my head. For example, imagine if you had like a Doink, right? One of the incarnations of Doink. There's no way you could have Doink just sitting there all day. He'd be the kind of character in costume who'd be walking around constantly, taking the mick out of people, doing silly things and interacting. And I think with the likes of the BWO, for example, that's exactly the kind of characters that they could be. I think there's all sorts of bits and bobs you could potentially do.
Yeah.
But for me, yeah, definitely they'd all sell absolutely millions of tickets.
Let's at least sell one.
I'll buy them all.
Right.
I'll buy them all.
Let's get the Blue Nini over.
That's, so are tickets already on sale for next year?
Yeah, they went on sale like the day after the last show.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they've been selling amazing. Like, you know, I think in the first few days we'd already done over 1,000 tickets. It's it's just gone on from there. It's great, really. It's nice to see that people have got that sort of faith and trust that it's going to be a good show. Before we'd even announced anything, I thought that's a really nice like endorsement of the event. So. Yeah, they're all they're available at the moment on the website lovewrestling.co.uk.
Well, I was gonna ask yourself, Jason. I know it had been mentioned. I think it was mentioned very close. Well, it was mentioned actually at the event itself, and it was mentioned generally in some of the discussions and the groups and things afterwards that you guys were, you know, you were very happy, obviously, with it being the Liverpool event that it is, but you were looking at the idea of potentially taking it internationally as well. Is that still something that's on the cards? Is that something you've spoken about, or is it a case of just, we want to get this next big event out of the way before we start thinking about anything different, or what's the state of play with that?
So with the posts on the group, I would say probably three quarters of them are me, and the others are 25% maybe the organiser, will every so often post. Now, because Andy obviously has multiple events, he's got For the Love of Horror, who just announced Kiefer Sutherland tonight, amazing booking. Wow. You know, he's got Comic Con Scotland,
incredible.
He's got Comic Con Manchester, he's got Comic Con Liverpool, he's got For the Love of Fantasy, he's got For the Love of Darts, where he's got like Phil Taylor and Michael Van Gogh.
Yeah, man.
He does all of these events. So, he obviously can't read all of his pages, so he has like volunteers, and you know, because I work for the venue, it makes sense for me to sort of help with that page. That one was from him. I personally think, being totally honest, that was him getting a bit excited.
Yeah,
I think he had a conversation with. He had a conversation with the Undertaker's manager, who was delighted with like the show, with how he was treated, with the. You know, the flight, with the food, with everything, really, really, really happy. And he sort of talked about saying, oh, you know, you should do a show in the US at some point. I think, you know, and it basically just came from that. But in my personal opinion, you know, the promoter of this show has got a huge amount of events on his plate, and he probably shouldn't be going to America trying to do a show there when, you know, in a territory you don't know that much about, you don't know how to promote there beyond Facebook. So, in my mind, it's probably not a great idea, but you never know. Like, he's a risk taker, so I wouldn't totally rule it out one day, but don't expect to see it like the next. You know, sometimes you just have aspirations. Maybe one day you'll do it, but I think he's now building his business in primarily the North. You know, his intention was always that a lot of the big Comic Cons are either a lot of big conventions, there's some good ones in Birmingham, and then they're all in London.
Yeah.
So he was very keen on building them in, you know, in the northwest and in other cities.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, don't worry about that. I know a few people came back and were like, oh, you know, don't do that. So, there was serious discussion about it being in another venue. I mean, he owns a venue in Manchester, so there was some talk about that. But I think it gone really well in Liverpool. So I think the feeling was, why rock the boat, you know?
It's a good call. And I think the venue loaned itself quite well. You know, the size and the shape of it loaned itself well to what it was. I mean, the one in Manchester is a great venue. I was there for MediaCon the year before with the Grapple Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great venue. You've got separate rooms and things like that, which could potentially work for certain things. But I think the fact that it's in such an open, big, rectangle space, I think the fans appreciate that more because then it's all visible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all there.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to separate rooms to see different people. This, that, and the other. You can. It's all there. You can look over one thing and see Chris Jericho there. You can look the other way. You can see Undertaker over there. There's a wrestling ring in the middle. There's vendors around there. There's computer games there. There's stages over there. It's all there. It's all nice and central. And the shape of it, the way it's laid out, it worked for what it was last year as well. You know, I'm sure this next year one, you'll have to think a bit differently about how it's laid out. More than likely, you're getting a lot more sort of props and things. Yeah. So, but I think it's a great space, and I'm glad it's there. It's, as you say, it's a cracking city for it to be in as well. Like, just a great city.
Yeah, you give people like a year's notice. You know, that gives them time to save up. You give them time to get to
the game.
They can get the time off work. They can book hotels. They're much cheaper to book in advance. And something, I put a post about this today. You know, we're really committed this time to really getting across that we want this to be like a festival over the weekend of wrestling. So we are going to do something on the Friday night. Probably not at that venue, but something in the city. Even maybe a couple of things. We'd love it to be, let's say, there's like a, maybe a screening on at one place, maybe a wrestling club going on, maybe, you know, some live wrestling shows, you know, same thing, sort of Saturday Night Avenue, then some stuff on Sunday. We want it to be a whole, like, you know, not, you know, I'm not trying to compare it to WrestleMania weekend, but, you know, when people go out there, they always say, right, maybe a Ring of Honor show on one night, and then there's Access, and then there's the Hall of Fame, and there's, you know, on a much tinier scale, we'd like there to be a number of activities for people, so they really feel like we want people to come for the weekend. That's, I suppose, what we're getting across. So, you know, if you put on enough entertainment for them on all the different nights, then you want it to become a no-brainer. Like, this makes sense to come on the weekend.
Definitely, mate. Definitely.
So, before we want to go, do you want to promote your social media? And
go for it, Jason.
Yes.
Yeah, I just need to check what it is. One sec. Better to send people to... I mean, the best way for them to interact with us, it just depends what they use. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, which is at FTLO Wrestling. You know, they should like our page, join the group, which we don't really moderate that much unless people message us complaining. So, you know, go in there and join the conversation. And I will say one thing, we are, like, genuinely listen to what people say. You know, when people talk about certain guests, certain bookings, we hear it enough. You know, we'll make it happen. And a lot of times, there are ideas for the show that have come from just, you know, fans and just conversations. Wow. But, you know, the more people have these ideas and conversations, and you know, we do listen to it and we do monitor it.
Cool. So all links will be in the description below the interview. Anyway, so I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again, and good luck with For the Love of Wrestling too.
Brilliant. Cheers, guys. Thanks so much.
Cheers, mate.